Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the 442nd edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Once a Metro and the rest of the SB Nation family of soccer websites. Come on in. Chat room is open. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my ability. Tonight, since this is the second to last show before the 2019 season is over, and then, of course, we'll take a quick little break, and then we get ready for 2020. A lot of excitement, a lot of fun stuff is going to start in 2020. I cannot wait. It's going to be fun times, of course. But we have to have a discussion about what's coming up. We all know it's already been taken care of. Open Cup qualifying has come to an end. The 13 sides that have officially qualified for the 2020 U.S. Open Cup is absolutely incredible. It is wonderful. And, you know, not to say it's about time or anything like that, because thankfully we didn't have many rounds to worry about. We didn't have many rounds to be concerned about. Three rounds. One automatic winner through the amateur championship in USASA has gone through, and then 12 other clubs qualifying through three rounds. You know, unbelievable. Once again, Newtown Pride FC from Connecticut, from the Eastern New York section, the New York Pancyprian Freedoms, a two-time Open Cup champion from Eastern New York. Erzgebirge from Pennsylvania. I'm not going to say their first one. I know I always butcher that name. I don't know why, but it just happens like that. Christos FC comes back to the party. Third straight year in a row for this. Fourth year probably, I think. Third or fourth year. I think it's their fourth year. Back to the party. Virginia United. Miami United's under 23 side. Nashville United comes back after a long absence. For the first time, debutants Louisiana Crew, spelled with a K instead of a C, in Louisiana. We have, once again, the North Texas Rayados. They've been a staple in Open Cup qualifying. The Olympic Club out of California. FC Harpos in Boulder, in Colorado. Cal FC comes back to the party. California, again, another Californian side. Chula Vista FC, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, for me, this is why it's called the American Soccer Show, because if this was just an MLS show, then I just talk about MLS and that's it. If this was the USL show, which let me just say there is a USL show, and I'm very happy that those guys are following me on Twitter, and you know, I'm glad they enjoyed my discussion of the USL Championship Cup Final, along with Devin Kerr from ESPN. Those guys do a great job as well. You know, you try and talk about all these clubs, whether it's in the professional ranks, the amateur ranks, or the semi-professional ranks, and especially in the lower amateur sides where these clubs have either been around for a very long time or have been around for a short period of time or were just born. You know, when you talk about these clubs and the amateur level, the Weekend Warriors, these teams, these players that, you know, with a 9-to-5 job, they could have a job, you know, as a doctor. They could have a job in a hospital, a construction crew, construction workers. You work at a college or a university, a department store, a bar. And they get an opportunity to take on professional sides or sides that are a part of a senior club's academy, like Miami United under 23s, like, of course, New York Red Bulls under 23s, Sounders under 23s, LA Galaxy's under 23s, whichever MLS side has a true academy that has an under 23 side or an under 20 side or whatever have you, and they get the opportunity to face professionals at a high level. But of course, the number one level will be to take on clubs that that ply their trade in Major League Soccer. That is the goal, to get to that level, to get to that round, to play against the creme de la creme, the best professional sides in the United States. It's the same thing that goes on in England. It's the FA Cup in Scotland, the Scottish FA Cup, Coupe de France, Copa del Rey, Copa Italia, and this is a tournament that I love. This is a tournament that people want to discuss, want to be a part of. Single elimination matches. There are no replays if the match is tied after 90 minutes. No. We go straight into extra time, and if there's still no winners in extra time, then we go to penalties. Nothing against the FA Cup, not poo-pooing it, but this is what I love. Straight out, single elimination. May the strong survive and advance into the next round. This is the tournament that we have to give our attentions to. And as we're going to talk on the show, three clubs that I'm going to talk to tonight that have those dreams, those aspirations. One, it's been a continuation since their first time in the Open Cup. Another one hasn't been to the Open Cup in a long time. They've gone through their own little bit of changes. And then there's another club who is now making their debutante tournament for the very first time in the history of their club. Three separate sides have qualified and have their own unique way of making noise in this cup competition that has been around for over 100 years. Before the MLS era began 25 years ago, before the Chicago Fire got four Open Cup titles, before Sporting Kansas City with three Open Cup titles, before the Seattle Sounders with four Open Cup titles, before the Galaxy with an Open Cup title, before any MLS side ever played in an Open Cup tournament, an Open Cup match, winning the Open Cup championship itself. These are the clubs that I've already mentioned that is going to take that trip and begin in round one, which they will be joined by clubs from USL League Two, the National Premier Soccer League, of course, USL League One. And then, if they are given the opportunity to go, National Independent Soccer Association, if those clubs get that opportunity. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. And as you know, I have made it the priority for this show to discuss the U.S. Open Cup every round proper until we get to the final. I give all my props, and I give the respect it truly deserves for this U.S. Open Cup tournament to be fought for. We have watched amazing matches. We have watched amazing players. We've watched folklore becoming reality. We have seen several narratives be formed in these Open Cups. Some have been repeated. Some have been created. And that's why I love about this tournament. But it's also time to give props to a man that has been probably doing this a lot longer than I have. Because I'll admit, at the time, all because of a merchandise catalog for Major League Soccer that I noticed, a trophy, which is the now retired Thomas R. Dewar Cup. A trophy that did not look like the Allen I. Rothenberg MLS Cup, that little pewter ball on a flat wooden plaque. Didn't look anything like what it was back in 1996 when DC United won the very first double for an MLS championship, MLS Cup title, U.S. Open Cup title in 1996. Asking around, what is this title? What is this cup? Why? It's the U.S. Open Cup. Never knew about it until I learned from an MLS merchandise catalog. And the one man, as I was trying to say, has been doing this for a very, very long time, longer than me, and I have to give him complete credit because this is a man that has been doing this sort of thing for a very, very long time. Josh Hakala, thecup.us. Yes, I was a part of that site for a couple of years, helping out with the U.S. Open Cup, helping out writing articles, helping with as much as I could. And whenever he needs me, I'm ready to go. Because if you have a love of this tournament, like I have the love of this tournament, like he has the love of this tournament, without a doubt, all you can say is this. This cup competition, the reporting of it, it's in good hands. It's in excellent hands. The dedication that Josh and I have for this tournament is second to none. I wish, though, I had the historical acronym like Josh has. You know, he's got all the information. He's got everything ready, at the ready. He helps out ESPN big time in the final with Atlanta hosting Minnesota for that final, helping out John Champion and Taylor Twellman. I try my best to have these review shows ready to go. I try to be a scavenger of people that are either head coaches, bloggers, reporters, to talk about what's been going on with these games. Why was it so fascinating? Why was it so exciting? Why does this cup competition continue to give you that fuzzy, warm feeling when you've got a sense of upset city coming to your town, to your computers, your laptops, your web-enabled devices, and the towns that have that Open Cup feeling? We'll get to that later on the show tonight. We'll definitely get there. But let me tell you something. Ever since I've been hooked on the Open Cup, without a doubt, I have been wanting more and more. Granted, there's still some bugs that needs to be worked out. There needs to be some kinks to be corrected, which I will agree with. But regardless of that issue, that one little issue that is left, as I've continued to say, more needs to be done. We have more. ESPN Plus. Every single match of every single round gets televised, and it's an absolute fun thing to watch. It's fantastic. I'm so happy. I am very, very excited about the 2020 Open Cup tournament. We just have to wait now for the finalization of the tournament, dates of the rounds proper, and then it's off we go into the fun. And when we get to fun time, folks, you'll know what we're saying, you'll know what we're doing, you'll know why. Every single year, the U.S. Open Cup is a fun tournament to watch, to take care of, and at the same time, we're going to have some fun. And we will wait and see if Atlanta United will repeat, or will we have a brand new champion starting in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a great show for you tonight. We have three sides that will discuss their trip through qualifying in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup Round 1 draw. First things first, we're heading on down to Lafayette, Louisiana, as we'll take on, or shall we say discuss, the Louisiana Crew, spelled with a K and not a C, K-R-E-W-E-F-C, the head coach of the Louisiana Crew. Now, if I butcher your first name, I apologize. João Oliva. Is that correct, sir?
Is that correct, João Oliva? Thanks a lot for having us.
Sir, thank you for being on the show. Congratulations. As I understand it, your very first trip to the U.S. Open Cup for the 2020 edition. And when we get to next year, your name will be put into the draw. How exciting is that for you and everyone in Lafayette, Louisiana? And I would also have to say the Louisiana Soccer State Association, to have a side competing for this Open Cup tournament starting next year.
So I think it's great for Louisiana. I think it's great for the community. So basically, we just have 10 months that we started. We're born to become the link that joins graduates with the amateur soccer to the professional soccer. So for us, I've been playing and competing in what we love as a legendary cup. It's something like it's very exciting for everybody here, and at the end of the day, it's what we want, like the people enjoying soccer.
No, absolutely, and that's going to be a fun time to see what's going to happen in the opening rounds. Just to talk about us, obviously there's the New Orleans Jesters that are in the amateur levels in the USL League 2. There's also other clubs representing the NPSL. But how competitive is amateur football, amateur soccer in Louisiana when it comes to these big-time leagues that you probably are competing in every single year?
Yeah, I mean, when I arrived here in Louisiana, so obviously everything was kind of different, no? And that kind of lack of competition, you can test. But at the same time, I think it's a big opportunity for us and for all of the Louisiana teams, because there is a big room to improve. And at the same time, we are, as you say, Jesters and Motagua before. It's our first year in Louisiana Crew. But there are some teams here that what we are trying to do is fill that gap. And I think that for us, it's been exciting to participate in that kind of contest. If we are really answering your question, I think that talking about talent-wise, yes, we are. We don't have the depth, we don't have the structure, and we don't have all the facilities or sources that other professional teams can have. But we know how to do the things, and we right now we are in the middle of a big community who is behind us, and we just help to them at the same time that they're helping us.
Just to talk about, and we'll get to the trip to the Open Cup Round 1 draw, obviously. Your side took on a big, big task against Livornia City in the third and final round of qualifying. When that final whistle blew, what was the emotion from yourself, your coaching staff, the ownership, the players? You finally hear that final whistle, and you're on to the Open Cup tournament for 2020, what was the feeling in Lafayette that night and the surrounding neighborhood as well?
Yeah, that was a good moment. Obviously, I think that at that moment we are just focused on, okay, it's done. We did. And the first thoughts you have on your mind is like, for all the people who support and for all the the staff, technical, all the volunteers, starting with Kevin, with Wade, with the Jones. So all the people who is from here, from Lafayette, and they love soccer. They have been following soccer in the last years. And suddenly, look, after the whistle, as you said, we are in, right? So let's enjoy it. And the day after that, you start thinking on the next round, you start thinking on next practices and maybe roster, you know. But that moment is for you, and that's it for eternity in Lafayette.
No, absolutely. You know, that's a wonderful thing to see. And, you know, you love to hear these stories of, you know, these amateur sides that are getting an opportunity to face at least the next level of competition that comes in front of them. Last year was the Florida Soccer Soldiers. They went at least till, I believe, the third round in the U.S. Open Cup. And sadly, that's as far as they went. But, you know, they were in their first year in the Open Cup, a side that had magic in their boots. I mean, you know, I don't want to put the cart before the horse on your side, but, you know, your side has an opportunity to take a big risk, make a big run in this Open Cup, because this is where the entire nation is watching, shall we say, the Davids as you try to take on the Goliaths.
Yeah, and the good thing of this is, I think, at least from my point of view, is no pressure on us, because we are here to have fun. We are here to enjoy the process. We are here to enjoy every single minute of that competition. We are not here to feel with the pressure that the big clubs have. Doesn't matter if we miss some opportunities, because we will learn it. And that's the big part. I think that everybody needs to try to enjoy this journey. I'm talking about all our people, the families that they are here, all the community, and obviously as a coach, for me it's a pleasure to coach my players when they know what is going on. And I think that's the deal that we have with them. They are enjoying our process, I'm enjoying with them, and everybody here is exciting to have more and more and more teams and try to advance. When it's done, it's done. But we will not put pressure on us for that.
No, absolutely not. Go out there and do your best and have as much fun as you want. So let's go ahead, and obviously it was only three matches to get to the Open Cup round one draw. Your first round match was against a side called North Shore. You handedly took them out 5-2. What was it about North Shore that you were able to put the match, you know, out of their hands and glide into the second round of qualifying?
I think that that even was a great score. Also, bring with a very talented players, some players with experience even in MLS, and we were like kind of new team. But the thing is, like, I think that what we did before the game, I think, was crucial. We practiced very, very good on the last month. We analyzed the other team. We came with a game plan, and then obviously the ball wins. When everything starts like this, everything starts going perfect. We didn't have to face the adversity like we did after that game. And we were on the time, like, controlling the game. Sometimes we have a plan. Sometimes we work on that. We analyze the teams. But it's the players who apply it. And I think that my players did great. They apply it. They enjoy. They possess the ball well. And we could score 5 goals.
Yep. And once again, a big win over a side that you took care of handedly. Second round is taking on Athletic Katy. A little bit of a conniption, obviously. You know, you edged them 3-2. And Athletic Katy, I believe, are they from Louisiana as well? Or are they from one of the other southern states that neighbors Louisiana?
They are from the west of Houston, so they are from Texas.
Ah.
And as most of the teams of Texas, 90% of them were from the Spanish community. So they were very emotional and passionate when they played. I think they brought some Colombian players. They were really, really high talented. And the game was just the opposite as the first one. This game came with a PK that we scored, but the referee asked us to repeat the PK, and we missed it when we repeat it. And that is when we faced adversity, you know. So I have like two or maybe three players putting their heads down. And I think it was more kind of a control emotions. We had the plan. We had the quality to beat them. But we need to start focusing on the games, and I think that's the thing, that when the lack of experience came from some of our players. But at the same time, on the second half, I think we came better, and we scored like in the last minutes was the winner goal. So it was kind of a very emotional game.
And then, of course, you had Livonia City traveling from the state of Michigan to Lafayette. Now, you know, as the English like to say, twitchy bum time, because it was only a one-goal win to put you into the first round of into the first round proper of the Open Cup for next year, for 2020. What is it about Livornia that really gave you fits that you couldn't advance the lead? You couldn't get a second or a third?
I think Livornia came here with some experience too, because they had been playing this amateur qualifying round before, and they were far too. Was our first round. I think the fact that obviously they were traveling can affect us, and we knew that, so that's when we started with a high press and tried to possess the ball from the beginning. I think first half was good for both sides, and I really believe that the second half we possessed very, very well the ball. We hit the crossbar, we created some chances, and we ended up scoring like a PK. And as you say, you know, it's one goal, but maybe it's the most important goal ever.
No, absolutely. And then, of course, once again, the final whistle blows, and for the very first time for the Louisiana Crew, you're into the Open Cup round one proper, the round one draw. I believe it's going to be a little earlier than it has been in the past. So I believe maybe around April, I think they're saying, but we'll wait till the official guidebook, the handbook, comes out for the proper side of the matches. I mean, obviously you've watched many, many draws, FA Cup draw, you know, other countries that have their own draws for their own FA Cup, Open Cup situation, Copa Brazil or something like that. What makes you feel excited and gives you that little extra motivation? Like you've said already, you're here to have fun, mm-hmm. you know, but what will make you excited when you find out that opening opponent you'll be drawn with starting in 2020?
Yeah, so as you say, I think the best thing that US have competition is for me that kind of cup, because everybody can access, and even if you have like a high filters, let me say that you have a high filter all the way up, you have the opportunity to face them. So I'll be very excited as more knowledge or more maturity team will come. And I prefer them to come. I mean, I would love to travel. We always did. We have to do it. But I think that what we want at the end of the day is bring the professional soccer, the high-standard soccer to our city, Lafayette. And in that moment, if we are excited for the draw, it's just to see our name there, try to represent our city and our state as best as we can, our league to the GCPO, and try to do it as best as we can. Actually, it doesn't matter who it is, but as I told you, my personal preference, I prefer a big team from Houston or Texas.
Hey, listen, why not? You know, I mean, they're not that far away. You just hop on the Amtrak and you go over to Houston. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for goodness sake, they're not that far away. I mean, I think maybe Mississippi will be in front of you, but
yep.
Why not go after someone like the Houston Dynamo? Why not FC Dallas, maybe some of the USL Championship sides like San Antonio FC or Austin Bold, Rio Grande Valley Toros. You never know. You probably get those opportunities. That'd be great. I mean, any former professional players, whether it's an MLS or anywhere else in the world that plays with Louisiana Crew right now, or it's all straight up amateurs?
Most of them, they come from college. They have been playing college in Louisiana or Texas. We have some other players that come from our grassroots club, like Dynamo Juniors. I think that we are doing, in part, we're doing this team because of them. We want them to get that opportunity to, because at the end of the day, we cannot develop a good player if the environment and the team is not in the highest standard. So that's why we create this team. And then we have some players that come from abroad. For example, in the summer, we have three players coming from my country, from Spain, from Barcelona. And then we have two more players. One of them was playing in Brazil in very high level, and another one that used to play here in PSL too, with in that situation, U.S. teams.
Awesome. That's wonderful to hear. Mr. Oliva, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. Congratulations once again. Qualifying for the proper tournament proper. You'll find out when the draw of the first round will be. Listen, have fun, like you've said already. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Go out and, you know, whatever happens, whether you win or lose in regulation, in extra time, or in penalties, make sure you go out with a bang, okay?
Yeah, we'll do. Again, thank you for having us, and especially if we give that this attention to these US Open Cup and humble clubs who are trying to take part of it. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much for joining me, and it's not a problem at all. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. João Oliva, the head coach of the Louisiana Crew in Lafayette, Louisiana. It is absolutely a lot of fun, and you can hear the happiness in his voice talking about qualifying for the U.S. Open Cup. It's just a wonderful thing to hear, and you give these amateur sides a big opportunity to take on the big boys. Talking about a club, in my mind, has become a big boy in this tournament. Why not? Christos FC, they return to the fold for the third or fourth straight season in the Open Cup. And joining me right now is the head coach of Christos FC. It is the one and only Chris Wilson. Chris, good evening. Welcome back to the Open Cup tournament. And how is everyone doing over in Maryland?
Hi, thanks for having me. We're doing really well. We're excited to be back after missing out last year. We're really looking forward to it this year. So, yeah, happy to be back.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun to have you guys back in there. You know, you were part of that team that had that big trip to the fourth round of the U.S. Open Cup back in 2017, where you took on DC United. And like I've said to you before you came on the air, that goal by Amadou Kanse is on YouTube. Everyone, if you want to go on YouTube, type in Christos FC Open Cup goal at DC United. They scored first on an amazing free kick. And in Boyd's, Maryland, at the Boyd Soccerplex, which is normally DC United's home matches for the Open Cup, became Christos FC home match, even though you guys were on the road. How many times have you been stopped to discuss that match with your neighbors and friends and everyone else that's a soccer fan?
It's been really cool, especially while it was going on. I had random people stop me when I would have my team gear on, or like friends would come out of the woodwork and text me like, "Hey, I'm coming to the game." And I think, you know, from what I heard, lots of people were standing in long lines to even get in, because it was so limited for the amount of people that actually wanted to attend. So it was a really cool experience, and it was something that I felt the whole city could share in for that time, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
You know, that second rounder against Richmond Kickers, of course, the former Open Cup champion themselves.
Yeah.
When you went into Richmond, I mean, that's a tall order. You know, at the time, Leigh Cowlishaw was the manager of the club. I mean, that man has done many things for Richmond soccer, for the Kickers. And to knock him out and his club out in the second round, that probably gave your guys back then a lot of confidence to have that run.
It did. That game was very interesting because we went in and we really wanted to test ourselves, and we knew we could hang with a lot of those teams. But that game definitely gave us the confidence going forward to make the rest of the run. And I don't know how he'll feel about me bringing it up, but we now have one of those members of the Richmond Kickers that was part of that game, and unfortunately a part of the defeat, is now playing with our team as well. His name's Alex Lee. So I'm sure he would love to be on the other side of that right now too.
Well, listen, don't hurt him that much. Let him breathe. let him breathe a little bit. It's okay.
I try not to bring it
up. Okay, good. You know, you need him for the big games. Let's not lose him just yet. But, you know, just to finish off on that great memory, three or four different people filmed that match. You know, where they were sitting, one was like, you know, behind the net on the near side, one was on the far side, one was sitting in the seats where, of course, the one that was behind the net, which is the most famous shot from Scott Van Pelt show of ESPN, mm-hmm. of scoring, and then you're seeing DC United fans at midfield stripe in that section and the entire stands and the little hill, yellow, greenish, neon shirts going bonkers for Christos. I heard, and I had your owner on, Mr. Costopoulos, 4 to 5 school bus loads of fans for Christos invading Boyd Soccerplex. That must have been amazing. I mean, how shocked were you to see so many people coming to see you guys perform against DC United in the Open Cup?
I mean, it was a really cool experience. I think the one thing that kind of had us going is that Baltimore has a very rich history with soccer. And for us, you know, without a professional team outside of our indoor team, for us to make that run and play in a meaningful match, it really gathered the attention of the city. And like I mentioned before, I had people that I hadn't talked to in a few years texting me and saying, hey, I'm coming to the match today, or, you know, tagging me and saying they were excited to watch us play. And, you know, I knew there were a lot of people there that I knew, and some of the video captures these people. But it was really cool to see the stands, you know, all filled in neon green shirts and have everybody's friends and, you know, like the people on our team who kind of coach in the area, have all their teams there and parents and family and loved ones. It was a surreal experience and, you know, one that we can only be so lucky to experience again. I think the proximity of playing a DC team really, really helped add to the atmosphere as well.
You got big shoes to fill, you know. Larry Sancombe has done an amazing job with Christos FC. Now, of course, he's running the Baltimore side in NPSL. You know, what have you learned from Larry? Has he given you pointers? Which I dare he – I don't know if he ever does, but no, I'm just joking. But but Larry, you know, his dedication to the club has been amazing. And what have you learned from Larry that has brought you into coaching – and then leading your side into the qualifying rounds to get back into the Open Cup?
Yeah, so I played for him for a few years as I got into the later parts of my amateur career. But Larry is very passionate about the game, very passionate about Christos. I swear he calls me daily to still talk, and he's always there, so... He's very much a part of the club, and, you know, now he's taken on the VP role, and you know, he's very passionate, and he always brought the best out of everybody. I think for those years that he was coaching us, you know, we could be in tough situations, and we always found a way to pull through. So, you know, I try to install some of the same leadership aspects that he had, but, you know, it's been fun, and it's been a tough gig to come in after him, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go through the qualifying rounds. Now, I believe you had a bye in the first round. Your opponent you were supposed to play against, I believe they didn't have enough players for the match, so they just couldn't make it in time, I believe, or something like that. So you had a first-round bye in the qualifying. But then you went on to take Federal City Wanderers. You basically took them to the woodshed and you put the saw to them, 7-1. Is this side better than that side that went that deep back in the day?
I mean, I think so. I've been saying it since last year that we've got – I mean, I wouldn't go so far, but we're really deep and we've got a lot of talent on these couple of year squads, you know. But that team that we had – when we played DC, you know, we had really good chemistry and the guys came in and they were all winners and we found ways to pull out games and grind out games. And we still have a lot of those guys. A good bit of them are still on the team and we've got, you know, a good young group of new guys as well, that are itching to have the same success that that team had. We brought in a few younger guys, that have finished college and are now playing with us, and some of them are very big parts of our team, and, you know, we hope to replicate the same success, but, you know, I would say our team is just as talented, you know, maybe deeper, but, you know, hopefully we can put the same success and same product out there that we had before, because that group, we all meshed well, and part of our success was how well we all got along and how well we played together.
Yeah, no, absolutely no doubt, and that's the idea, is to advance and get to the next round. The final round, of course, Steel FC coming from Western Pennsylvania. I mean, why not the Steelers, Steel FC? I mean, it's synonymous with Steel City in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but you edged them 3-2, and what was it about this team from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or at least from the suburbs of Pittsburgh, that made them a real challenge to get that final round, to get that final spot for the draw for 2020?
Yeah, I mean, they're a good squad. We played them last year, and they got the better of us. But, you know, this year we kind of tried to build on what we saw last year and try to attack them early. And, you know, part of the conversation I had before the game was that we needed to high press and jump on them early and try to find the goal that we didn't find last year. And fortunately enough, we did find one in the first few minutes because our pressure was really mounting on them, and, you know, found another. But Steel is very compact. They were very organized. They were a solid team. I wish we would have closed the game out a little bit better. We made it a little nervy towards the end, but ultimately got the job done and a successful victory. Everyone was very
excited.
So, yeah.
Oh, of course, of course. So what happened? Mr. Kostopoulos, he brought over some of his discount liquor to the locker room? That was...
No, funny enough, though, our game was right down the street from the liquor store. So it's funny to drive right by it as we're going in to play that match. It's great to see where the roots come from.
Hey, listen, it's a discount liquor store. You know, the owner, it's not a big deal. He'll write it off on the books. You know, it's a celebration. Whatever you want, guys. No, I'm just joking. Don't tell him I said that. I don't want him mad at me. But, you know, it's just, you know, I talked to him back in the day before previewing the fourth round back in 2017. How happy he was, how ecstatic he was that you guys are taking on DC United, and just a wonderful person to chat with, and I'm just very happy for them. Because I know you had the video of all these first-place medals, all these medals and titles that, you know, you were a part of with the amateur, you know, as a player for the side. I mean, for yourself personally, because now I think you're the only one that I'm aware of. Now, I could be wrong, and that's fine, but – you're like one of the players that has now reached the coaching ranks. You've won some of those titles as a player. Now you have an opportunity to maybe, or if it has already happened, to win a title as a coach. I mean, how does that make you feel?
It's awesome. I mean, I think the fact that they trusted me enough to give me this role was really nice. I mean, I've been playing on the team since I graduated college in 2011. So I've been on the team quite a while, and took over last year, mostly because I've been getting older and, you know, your team always wants to get younger. I mean, it definitely gets harder and harder to run with the 22-year-olds, each year. So, I'm happy to step aside and, you know, I know all the guys pretty well, and know where guys can succeed on the field. So it was, you know, it had to up, it's ups and downs, but I thought overall it's a pretty easy transition since, you know, I have a different relationship with the guys over the years. But, you know, it was great. And coaching, I can hope I bring, and we can win some championships as well from the coaching ranks, because especially the last few years as I played, you know, it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yep. Last question for you personally. Obviously, there are those amateur sides that qualifies for the Open Cup, you know, many, many years consecutively. They've had a few bumps in the road, but they are able to, you know, qualify for the Open Cup, like North Texas Rayados in the Texas State Soccer Association. Obviously, Agan Hawks are still around in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland, you know, metro area. Do you feel Christos is like that right now? Do you feel you're one of those top sides in the amateur ranks that automatically qualifies for the Open Cup, that there's no problem, we're ready to go, and, you know, you got to take us seriously because we mean business?
I mean, we definitely feel like our name is in the conversation. You know, everything we've done over the last 2 years, I would hope that, you know, our name is just as recognizable as all those clubs that you mentioned. You know, I would never say it's an automatic push, especially since we didn't qualify last year. We tend to feel like we get most teams' A games week in, week out, and it's hard, especially in the amateur game where, you know, one game slip up could really cost you. But, you know, we hope to be that club that's there every year. And, you know, I hope as part of my year is that that's kind of part of the legacy that I can help bring is that, you know, every year, as far as amateur soccer goes at the national level or in the Open Cup, you know, Christos FC is right there. And, you know, our name is there with the big clubs that you mentioned that are in it every year.
Absolutely. Well, listen, good luck in the Open Cup. Round one draw. Let's see if you can get a good player, or I shouldn't say good player, but a good opponent. And definitely, it's going to be a lot of fun. And like I said, good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. We look forward to it. So hope to speak with you again. Appreciate it.
Yep, yeah, no problem at all. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, that's Chris Wilson, the former player of Christos FC, now the head coach of Christos FC as they take on the one and only, you know, I shouldn't say take on, but he's now the coach of Christos FC as we get ready to talk about their club and what they're trying to do, how they're going to get forward, and all that fun stuff. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be fantastic, and definitely, it's going to be a wonderful thing to discuss, and I cannot wait till we get to the situation where, once again, it is going to be a lot of fun, and we get to that draw. Oh, excuse me. And like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. It's going to be exciting to watch. And we're going to have a lot of fun here. So, you know, why not get ready, have some fun. And why not have some fun? And we're going to enjoy ourselves. And we're going to make sure we're going to have some fun all the time. Joining me right now, a gentleman all the way out in the Midwest, of course. This has been a side that has been very competitive in the amateur rank, in the amateur levels of American soccer at the same time. Has been in the Open Cup in the past. Hasn't been back in a long time, but now they're back in it. Now it's FC Boulder with Harpos, of course. Joining me right now is the head coach and the owner of the club, in Johnny Freeston. Johnny, are you there, and how are you?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
No problem. Well, it's great to see Harpos back where they should be, in my opinion. Obviously, Harpos has been, in my mind, you know, a club that has been exciting to watch whenever they've been in the Open Cup, whenever we've had the opportunity for those live streams through YouTube and everything. But still, though, you know, it's just great to have a bunch of guys that are dedicated to the cause and want to perform in the Open Cup.
Yeah, we've been, you know, very fortunate over the years to always have a good squad, a good crew, you know, the right mentality. And, you know, thankfully, you know, this year we've earned the right and got back into the competition, and everyone's extremely happy about that and obviously very excited for the tournament proper in 2020.
Oh, absolutely. I saw what you said on Twitter. I just want to go into that. You know, like I've said, we've had Louisiana crew from Lafayette, Louisiana. This is their first ever entrance to the Open Cup, so they're basically rookies. You've got Christos FC that has been in the competition the last couple of years consecutively, including, you know, in Texas, North Texas, Rayados. you've had a lot of player turnover, you know, and of course, you know, you've also had, I guess, some injuries as well. You get to have some of these players come back, and, you know, you've been trying to get back into the tournament, and now you're back into it. How difficult has it been for Harpos at times to have so much turnover? Now, finally, you're back into the promised land of the Open Cup.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, I think, you know, the runs in 15 and 16 really helped put us on the map, so to speak. And there's a lot of positives that came out of that. And the bros that were a part of that were just unbelievable in terms of their mentality, in terms of their commitment, physically, just as athletes and ballers. Like, the guys, they're bleeding for each other. They're just willing to run through brick walls for each other. But just like anything in life, you know, there's moments in time. And, you know, moments in time, things change. People start to grow up. People get hurt. People move away. That kind of stuff. So I think, you know, after 2016 and getting to the second round, we had, honestly, every expectation to make it to in 2017, and we didn't. So that was a bit of a, you know, a kick in the teeth, because we still had a lot of the same guys and had added some new weapons. And, you know, qualification games or cup finals, anything can happen on that given day, and we didn't win. I think 2018 was even more difficult to swallow because we had kind of peaked with that group. We actually, that was our best year in terms of hardware. I think we were like 52-4-3. So we won all these games. We won,
wow,
6 or 7 trophies. You name it, we were doing it. We scrimmaged at the Mexico men's national team here at CU. I mean, we were riding high, and we went into this game. And honestly, in hindsight, I think we were a bit burnt out. And so we went into this game against our rival, Azteca, and kind of inexplicably, we scored the first goal, but then next thing you know, they're up. And it was 2-1, then it was 3-1, then it was 3-2, then it ended up being 4-3, and we were out. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, did that era just end? You know, people knew that was kind of the end. And so that was just super disheartening, if I'm being completely honest, for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, last year, we went to PKs against our rival FC Denver, and credit to them. You know, they finished and we didn't. And that was a big transition squad. And but then this year, yeah, we rebuilt. So new players, new coaches, some new sponsors, a partnership with FC Boulder. And thankfully, it's all come to fruition. It's gone according to plan.
Oh, absolutely. And why not? You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, you got to get knocked off your perch, and when you try to get back on top, you get knocked off again. You got to learn from it, and then when you finally get to the top, back on the perch, hey, you know, it's the sweet smell of success, and you're back into the Open Cup in the first round draw, and it's absolutely wonderful. For those of us that are not familiar with the Colorado region, or at least the entire state, and when it comes to soccer, I mean, we all know about the Rapids. We all know about Colorado Springs Switchbacks, obviously, in the professional ranks, but what makes the amateur game so competitive and so hungry? Like you said, you've got your rivals. You've got the Azteca FC. You've got the FC Denver. I mean, what is about these teams that, for those of us that are not familiar with what goes on in the state of Colorado, why is it so competitive, and why is it so much fun to have these matches being played in the amateur level?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you know, it's just that each season, people are trying to raise the bar, you know, whether it's through, you know, organization or recruiting. You know, certain clubs will bring players in from different states, different countries for that matter. You know, a lot of amateur players, quote unquote, across the country, but especially here in California, et cetera, they get paid to play, right? So, you know, you have a guy who's from California or Texas, and maybe flies into Colorado and gets paid, you know, $500 to $1,500 for that weekend to come and play in one of our Sunday league games or a tournament like Copa Alianza. So you're not just playing guys that sit around and drink beer and smoke weed, honestly. You're playing some guys that are ballers. We do. Everyone does. We love it. It's Colorado. There's no rules here, but ourselves included. But, you know, it's wild, wild west, but you have a lot of that. So, you know, 7-10 years ago, you know, especially 10 years ago when I was playing, you know, we were playing City of Boulder League. It was a true Sunday league. And then, you know, 7 years, 5 years, it's, oh, wow. People are starting to go and get the best college players that have decided to, you know, stay home or come back after school, or trying to get, you know, the USL League 2 players, NPSL players, former pros. And now, you know, our squad and a number of other squads, everyone's got a couple token ex-pros or guys who just came out, you know, pop collar studs from college, whatever the level was. Or someone had a stint abroad, friend of a friend, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's the love of the game and the passion, I think, that keeps people playing, but it also keeps, you know, the different sides invigorated. I think, you know, again, 10 years ago, there was probably four or five competitive sides, and I think there's four or five top sides now. But overall in Colorado, there's probably 100 amateur teams between all the different cities. And because we're landlocked, you work with what you got, you know? So I think the levels continue to get higher, and obviously the ultimate goal for any squad here is to try to qualify for Open Cup. And so it's great to have the rivalries and the competition with everyone in the backyard.
No, absolutely. Let's go through the qualifying rounds. Obviously the first one is a 2-0 victory over here at FC Denver. And as you said, you know, that's a rivalry, that's a derby. And, you know, for how long has Harpo's been battling it out with FC Denver? I mean, obviously Denver's one of the number one cities in the state of Colorado, obviously, but how difficult are they to play against? Is it clashing of styles? Is it the same style for both sides? Just, you know, one does it better. What was it about these matches against FC Denver?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is we just have mutual respect for each other. You know, we appreciate what they're doing in their approach and their management. Eric Fulton is their president and owner, so kind of, you know, my counterpart. We've known each other now since about 2012. We left the Boulder League and then went to the Colorado Premier League, and we started our battles then, and state cups and Vail Invitational tournaments, et cetera. So, you know, over time, obviously, the teams and the squads have drastically changed. I think, you know, they might have one guy left from 2012, and I think we have one or two. Maybe more than that, but we have four or five. But, you know, they have a possession-based style, but they can also play direct, and they're very good on set pieces. And they also have some, you know, technical players who always give them a competitive state against anyone. And they work hard. I mean, they just work extremely, extremely hard for each other and for their cause. And I think that's where, you know, we come together and clash. And it's never going to be a 4-5, 6-7-0 to either side. It's going to be, you know, almost like an Old Firm game. You know, in Scotland, it's Rangers versus Celtic. It's going to be blood and thunder. There'll be quality, but if you don't bring that intensity level mentally and physically, and you can't match that on the day, then you're screwed. And so we love playing and competing against them. But it was great to see them go on their runs and have their success. And, you know, I mean, that's the thing. If one mistake is made in a game like that, you're going to get punished for it. So it's great preparation when both of us go and play, you know, in the same or different tournaments, and then have obviously Open Cup runs, et cetera. It's great. And same with Azteca. They have a very distinct style. It's more possession oriented. Those games are a lot feistier. I think they're a lot chippier from the sidelines, from the fans, on the field, definitely, you know, antics, discipline, refereeing. I mean, it all goes out the window, honestly. It's bad sometimes. It's really bad. But, you know, we just played them in the CPL, the Colorado Premier League final, a few weeks ago, and it was a relatively clean game. There was some angst there, et cetera, but they brought their best. We brought our best, and we were fortunate to win 2-1. So there's never really an easy game when we're playing our top rivals, which we like and we respect.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like that's going to be something that needs to be played on HBO or on ESPN. I'd like to see something like that. That'd be great. Next round, I mean, basically, you destroyed Colorado Rush 6-0 in the second round of qualifying. I mean, it sounds like you had your best game in the qualifying march to the first round. What is it about Colorado you found the way to beat them hands down?
Well, I think we're very familiar with Rush and how they play and how they go about their business. And so they're a club and a team that we've played now for number of years indoors and outdoors, and we've been fortunate enough to come out on the winning side, I think, 100% of the time, including qualifying last year when it was 2-1. And, you know, last year I think we just weren't as good. We weren't as strong. We didn't have the quality and depth, and it became more of a fist fight each game, you know, meaning we were just having to really dig deep to get through games and see games out. And this was the opposite. And I heard, you know, what Chris was saying, Chris Olsen was saying related to, like, you know, steel pulse games. They came out and pressed. And so the squad we have now, we're fit, we're hungry, we have a great mix of youth and experience, and we pressed teams and we came out, and I think it was 3 or 4-0 at halftime. So, you know, the guys executed the game plan and we didn't take our foot off the gas and we got the result we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You put them to the saw, that's for sure. And then, of course, the Colorado Rovers was your final match in qualifying, that 4-0 victory over the Rovers. And like you said, you know, you've been trying to get back into the Open Cup proper. And when the final whistle blew on that one, what was the feeling you had? Was it like relief? Yes, we made it. Let's go for it now. I mean, or like I said before, you know, was it finally relief that you're back into the Open Cup and you're getting ready? You're thinking about, what am I going to do? Who am I going to be playing in the first round? What's going to happen here and there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was just a good feeling of happiness, honestly, to miss out the last couple of years, knowing we still had a quality team. We continued to win all of our domestic silverware, if you will, and other tournaments. So it's not like we fell off the ledge, but we definitely, you know, weren't on top of the perch, to your point. And so, yeah, I just felt like it was a bit of redemption for us. We had come so close and faltered at the end line. And so, you know, especially for the guys, the veteran bros who've been with us and through the indoor and the outdoor and the other runs, like, I thought that was just massive. I was just happy for them more than anything else. And then we have a bunch of new guys. So it was excellent for them to be part of the journey, you know, this year and this fall and to qualify. So I was just happy. You know, and it was a good reason to obviously go and celebrate together. But the added, I guess, impetus there was we found out a few days before that game against Rovers that if we, you know, it was win and you're in. So that had, you know, obviously extra incentive for us to go out there and execute on the day. And thankfully we did.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the name of the game. You got to qualify for those big tournaments. Okay. So just out of curiosity, has the Rapids or the Switchbacks ever come to your matches and say, listen, we'd like to have this player for our side? Has that ever happened to you yet or in the past? What's been going on with that?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Obviously, the Rapids are, you know, in MLS and dealing with agents and players globally, you know. I think we've had a pretty diverse squad, meaning the Rapids, over the years. So, no, they haven't really come, but we're very familiar with the organization and their staff and how they go about their business. So, you know, there's a good relationship there. And with Switchbacks, it's the same. We know them, I think, a lot better just because of the Open Cup runs. We play scrimmages usually in February or March for their preseason. Even if we're not fit, you know, they're willing to give us the game, and we appreciate that on multiple levels and for multiple reasons. So, yeah, they, in fact, I think it was after the second year, so 2016, our keeper, our number one keeper, was Zach Gibbons. And Zach had played professionally indoor before, played Division One for Creighton and Dayton. So, you know, definitely a total baller and stud in goal. And one of their keepers went down with an injury. And so, yeah, not even a few weeks after our game, I got a call, and they asked if they could speak with Zach, and we connected him, and then he ended up signing for them and left us for the rest of the season. So, yeah, it was a really cool experience for him, and it was great for us. And, you know, we do have a fair number right now. I think out of 36 guys, we have 12 ex-pros. And, you know, guys that have been paid to play. And so I think it's been good that these guys – come and obviously add to our dynamic and group, but we also have guys that are coming through our program, but also with FC Boulder, where they can go and sign on pro. So the Rapids have not come and signed anyone from us, but the Switchbacks have.
All right. Well, that's not bad at all. You know, we've got to go pro sometime. But Johnny, congratulations once again, getting back into the Open Cup tournament. I want to wish you good luck in the draw. We'll hopefully get a favorable opponent. and have fun and good luck.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. We appreciate the well wishes and we're looking forward to hope to speak with you again. Thank you, Daniel.
Yes, absolutely, no problem at all. Johnny Friesen, the owner and head coach of Harpo's and FC Boulder, as Harpo's will now be back in the Open Cup, and you know, once again, it's a lot of fun. It's exciting. It's fantastic. It's amazing, and the hope is that we're going to get another great Open Cup tournament, because once again, this is our FA Cup. This is our Coupe de France. This is our Scottish FA Cup. I mean, for goodness sakes. ESPN, once again, every single match of every single round gets televised, gets streamed. It's absolutely fantastic. And yes, this is the wave of the future. I know some people want to see the final on the regular channels of ESPN, but you know what? As long as every single match has been broadcasted, we cannot be beggars. Beggars cannot be choosers. It's a wonderful time to be an American soccer fan. It's a great time to be an American soccer fan, where finally respect has come to this tournament. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You can join me next year when we will review the first round proper for that draw for the first round of the 2020 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And once again, you know, if it's nothing from me on the show, please go to the cup.us, Josh Hakala, covering everything about the Open Cup qualifying, upcoming stories. Obviously, we're going to have to wait for the schedule to come out and which teams of USL League 2 and PSL, as well as if NISA, NISA is you know, officially a part of the Open Cup. We'll have to wait and see if that happens, and hopefully it will happen, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic. So I want to thank my guests for tonight, João Oliva, Louisiana Crew FC, Chris Wilson, Christos FC, and just non-recently, Johnny Friesen for Harpo's FC Boulder Harpo's. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please, please enjoy your football. Thank you. You have a good evening. Take care. So long. And bye-bye for now.